This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله جل وعلا وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أجارني الله وإياكم من النار ثم أما بعد All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, as we come towards the end of the year, we are supposed to review and check ourselves and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Muslims and as believers, are we adhering to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And if I was to make you a judge over your own self, would you be happy with yourself or not? That is enough to tell you that we're supposed to sit and review and check ourselves. And don't be fooled by your righteous good deeds. Don't be fooled by your righteous good deeds. There are some people that when they commit to righteousness and they perform righteous good deeds, eventually after a long time, they sleep at night and in his heart there is pride and there is arrogance. He believes that he has achieved something. And this is why as Salaf al-Salih, rahimahumullah, they used to say, لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ عَاصِيًا وَأُصْبِحُ مُنْكَسِرًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَبِيتَ طَائِعًا وَأُصْبِحُ مُعْجَبًا He used to say that if I was to sleep upon disobedience and wake up the next morning broken and remorseful and regretting my sin, this is much more beloved to me than to sleep upon obedience and wake up the next morning full of pride and arrogance over the obedience that he had performed. Why so? Why did they used to say that? Because good deeds that result in pride and arrogance is a disaster. That's a calamity in itself. So each and every single one of us must hold himself accountable. We must assess ourselves and check ourselves according to the Islamic standard and the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down in the Quran. You know, my brothers in Islam, in today's modern world, whenever an industry or a business company wants to audit and assess and evaluate itself, they do so according to something called ISO checklist. So there is ISO 9001, ISO, there's a form 22000, you get the form, and they determine whether their company is good or bad according to the checklist. This is how serious people took their worldly life. This is how serious people took their dunya and their business in this dunya, that they did that. Now imagine this, my brothers. A dunya is something that will be destroyed at the end. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا Allah Azza wa Jal will destroy it and it will become a barren, dead, dry land, nothing at all on it. And this is the people's concern in their worldly life, evaluating at the end of the year. For imagine, as a believer, as a Muslim, how much more important is it for us to sit with each other and evaluate ourselves, assess ourselves, audit and check and review ourselves. Are we adhering to Allah's commandments or not? Are we obeying Allah Azza wa Jal the way we're supposed to or we're not? For we need to have a checklist. And there has to be a checklist. Where is our checklist that we're supposed to evaluate ourselves according to? Of course, we all know the Quran is the ultimate. The Quran, the entire book, is a checklist for the believers. But there is a specific passage in the Quran that should be a checklist for us from time to time. And that is the end of Surah Al-Furqan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worships the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, the chosen and selected slaves of the Most Merciful. Let's see of these qualities and how many of them can we tick. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Who are عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ? Who are they? And in what society and what community did they live? And why is this the best checklist? Because of the huge reward that is promised at the end. At the end of that passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةِ. Ulaika, such people that adhere to these qualities, ulaika, it implies greatness, that these people earned a great status and a level and a position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yujzawna, they are rewarded, they are given in reward, they are given a prize, they are given a gift. And yujzawna, it's a present tense. In other words, it implies that this gift Allah gives them is continuous. It does not stop at all. What is this reward? This is not a certificate of graduation, and it's not a Nobel Peace Prize that they earn, and it is not the Premier's Award, and it is not the top citizen certificate. That's not yujzawn, that's not the prize. The prize that Allah gives them is ulaika yujzawna al-ghurfa. Al-ghurfa. Al-ghurfa, yani they earned, they became residents of the paradise, residents of al-ghurfa. What is al-ghurfa? My brothers in Islam, the paradise is made up of levels. The highest level in the paradise is Al-Firdaus. Al-Firdaus itself is made up of levels. And the highest level in Al-Firdaus is the level of Al-Ghuraf. Al-Ghuraf. Al-Ghuraf was mentioned in the Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions the houses and the palaces of the believers. Min durratin hamra, wa durratin bayda, wa yaqutatin khadra. It's made of red pearls, white pearls, from green aquamarina, these kind of expensive gemstones. And then the level of Al-Ghurra or Al-Ghuraf, that level is also made up of levels. And the highest level is called Al-Ghurfa. Idhan Ibad al-Rahman, they reach the top of the top. Above that level is the level of Al-Wasila, in where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resides. This is why this is the standard and the best checklist for one to evaluate himself according to. My brothers in Islam, Ibadur Rahman, they achieved the highest level, the top of the top. How did they achieve this? When you read in this passage, the first thing that comes to your mind is no doubt Ibadur Rahman must have lived in a pure, clean environment and society. Their society must have been righteous, sinless. This is what comes to your mind. The media in that society must have been 100% positive towards Islam. The educational system in that society must have been 100% Islamic. The shops and the roads, they were 100% Islamic. There was no corruption, no corrupt websites, no filthy websites. There was no nakedness on the streets. There were no fitan. There was no disobedience, no sins. Everyone was nurtured upon Islamic values and morals. That's what you'd expect. But shockingly, when you read over and over the ayat, you find contrary to that. Ibad al-Rahman lived in what kind of society? Let's listen to the ayat, and Allah would define what kind of society they lived among. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمْ الْجَاهِلُونَ. Even they lived among jahilun. They lived among the jahilun. Al-jahilun, my brothers in Islam, is not only ignorant people when it comes to knowledge. Al-jahilun here, ضِدُّ الْحِلْمِ, meaning hateful people, ill-speeched, ill-mannered, attacks against Islam from the media. This is al-jahilun, right? Attacks obnoxious people, corrupt people. This is al-jahilun. Ibadur Rahman lived among al-jahilun. You go on into the ayat and Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. When Allah Azza wa Jal counted a quality of Ibadur Rahman, He said, they are people that do not commit shirk. They do not murder and they do not commit zina. Now really, with all honesty, is that a praiseworthy quality? To say about someone, MashaAllah, this person doesn't commit zina. Is that a praiseworthy quality? And when does it become a praiseworthy quality? When the entire society is filled with shirk, when everyone around you is committing zina, when everyone around you is murdering and killing, and you're the only one that is not falling into shirk, and you're the only one that's not committing zina, that's when it becomes a praiseworthy quality. If an ibadur rahman lived among a corrupt, sinful society, people committing zina left and right, corruption all over the place, or zina leads to murder. When a woman is pregnant from zina and realizes that there's a baby, abortion straight away, which is murder. Then zina and murder are related. And so when a society is filled with these corruptions and a person doesn't fall into these major sins, that's when it's a praiseworthy quality. For even the society was corrupt. You furthermore add, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, are people that do not witness az-zur, falsehood. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he says, az-zur a'yadul mushrikeen. That az-zur, falsehood, is the celebrations of the disbelievers. Every few meters you walk, you'll see a Christmas tree. You'll see people celebrating their shirk religious celebrations. La yashhadun az-zur, they lived in a society like this. Subhanallah. And maybe their celebration was made a public holiday for the entire nation to celebrate. But when does this become a praiseworthy quality? When you live among a society like this and you happen to say, I do not witness this stuff. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on, He says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّهُ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when they pass by اللَّهُ, nonsense, evil speech. In other words, the community was full of لَهُ. What is اللَّهُ? لَهُ is like nonsense, non-beneficial things. With dunya, like social media, this is all lahu when it's not used for the good. Event after event, tournament after tournament, nightclubs, cafes, pubs, liquor stores, this is all lahu. Ibadur Rahman lived in a society where there was lahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. And Ibadur Rahman are people, when they hear the ayat of Allah, they do not turn a blind eye to it, and they do not turn a deaf ear to it. How is that a praiseworthy quality? Well, fundamentally, a believer is supposed to be sami'na wa ata'na. A believer is supposed to say, I hear and I obey. So if someone was to say, yes, Allah said this, I'll obey and implement, how is that a praiseworthy quality? My believer is supposed to do that. But my brothers in Islam, when you live in a society in where when you tell someone, brother, ittaqillah, he feels offended, and he feels mocked, and he feels insulted. When you say to a sister, dress properly, adhere by the hijab, the Islamic code of dress, they say, what do you want? What do you want? Go speak about your own self, and go give advice to the brothers. Don't speak to us. When the ayat of Allah are recited on people, and they turn away from it, and you're the only one. When ayat of Allah are recited to you, you put your hand down, and you say, sami'na wa ata'na, it becomes a praiseworthy quality. Ithan Ibadur Rahman lived among a society where people did not take the advice seriously. They turned away from the advice. My brothers in Islam, what does all this mean? What does it all mean? It means Ibadur Rahman did not live in a religious, righteous society. They did not live in a pure, clean environment. They lived among a sinful community. They lived among a community full of transgression and sins and disobedience and desires and fitan all around. Wallah, fitan all around. This is what Ibadur Rahman lived among. I tell you, wallahi, you don't walk 500 meters down any road except that you'll see 70% of the minor signs. 70% of the minor signs you'll see every 500 meters you walk. Just walk down the road. Al-riba, the banks, you'll see it. That's from the minor signs. Al-zina, of the pubs, the clubs, al-masajid, people will come in and will not offer two rak'at before they sit down. This is from the minor signs. How many of the minor signs are we going through? Ithan Ibadur Rahman live among such a society and such a community. But at the end, ulaika yujzawna al-urfa. They made it. They made it to the top. What was the secret? How did they make it to the top? You know, my brothers in Islam today, our youth, when you speak to them and give them advice, they say to you, Yani, can't you see the society we're living in? Can't you see the internet and the filth that's on it? Can't you see the fitan in our country, in our Muslim countries? And we're young boys and girls. What do you expect from us, Yani? What are we supposed to do? Today's youth, this is their rhetoric. This is their explanation of why they commit drugs and why they attend the clubs and the pubs. This is their excuse that they're corrupt. The environment is corrupt, therefore I'm corrupt. As though saying that if the environment was pure and clean, we would have been pure and clean as well. However, that's wrong. We need to understand that the believer, as a believer, he does not change. He's always pure. He's always clean. No matter where you put him, Yusuf alayhi salam, he ends up in the palace. He ends up in the most corrupt area in Egypt. That was the palace of the king. And he came out more pure than when he entered. Then Yusuf alayhi salam was put in prison. What is the prison? The prison is the most corrupt places on earth. You go in there for a small crime you commit, you come out the leader of a gang. This is what the prison system is. This is what it teaches its people. You come out, you're leading a gang. Yusuf alayhi salam entered the prison for many years. And he came out pure and clean, cleaner than when he entered. Ethan, why? Because the believer doesn't change. Whatever is around him, he tries to create the change. He doesn't allow the environment and the society he's in to suck him and drag him into it as well. فَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ The chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lived among a corrupt society. But the big question is, how did they achieve their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jal, he mentioned their qualities in the Qur'an. He praised them. Their mention will remain in the Qur'an until the last day. And this kind of mystery we're supposed to solve. Yani, huwa for the one who reads the Qur'an and ponders over the Qur'an, there is no mystery. But for the one who doesn't read the Qur'an, the entire Qur'an remains as a mystery for him. For let's share, my brothers in Islam, what is the thing? The first surprising fact about Ibadur Rahman was that they lived in a corrupt society. The second thing is this. This is a fact you're supposed to know. Some people would assume that Ibadur Rahman would have been people that devoted 24/7 of their life for worship. They would have lived in the masjid day and night. This is what you would have assumed. Wrong. At the beginning of the ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ They walk in society. They carry themselves out in society. What does this mean? A lot of the Mufassirun وَالْقُرْطَبِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ said, أَيَّسْعَوْنَ فِي أَرْزَاقِهِمْ They go and earn a living. إِذَا عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانَ People that work. It could be a doctor. It could be a telecommunication engineer. It could be a plumber. It could be an electrician. Could be anyone that works. Then watch this. At the end of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says about them, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ Ibad al-Rahman turned out to be married. And they have children. They're making dua for Allah to bestow happiness upon their children and their wives. And you know, if you have children and you have a wife, what does that mean? That means there's financial responsibilities, there's school fees to pay, there's rent to pay. And just like any family, there are the problems you're supposed to deal with. Even at the end of the day, my brothers in Islam, we realize that Ibadur Rahman are people like you and I. People like you and I that live in a corrupt society. And we work. And at the end we have their families, go back to their families at the end of the day. But the trick here now, the thing we're supposed to observe and realize is how did they make it to the top? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا You realize one thing, that in the entire passage, everything was mentioned in the plural. Allah said, وَعِبَادُ He did not say, وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَانِ يَمْشُونَ Plural. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا Plural. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ They make dua, they say plural. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ Plural. All of this is in the plural. In other words, Ibad al-Rahman are people who understood the importance of brotherhood. They understood what it means to be among good companionship. They understood the value and importance of the brother that's on his left and on his right. If I was to say to one of you, get up now and name the brother that is sitting on your left. 3/4, if not more, would not know how to do so. 3/4 of the masjid would not know how to name or who his brother on his left or on his right is. Do people think they can reach Allah Azza wa Jal alone? This is the disaster, my brothers in Islam. When you think you can reach Allah alone, you reach Him by yourself. This is where the disaster is. My brothers in Islam, this is wrong. No one can reach Allah alone. Ibad al-Rahman made it to the top because they understood the importance of each other. They understood the value of brotherhood and good righteous companionship. And there is a good lesson in history about a person that decided to isolate himself from good companionship and worship Allah alone. A good story. And there is a reference to him in the Quran. Let's see what happened to him and why he fell in his problem. Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of Surah Al-Hashr, he says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us a story about a shaytan who said to al-insan, the one human being, اكْفُرْ, disbelieve. طيب, then what happened? If I was to say to someone, اكْفُرْ, you will say to me, get lost. No way. But what happened to this person? فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ, he disbelieved. How did he disbelieve? Who was this person? Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he mentions the story in his tafsir, and he says that this one person that disbelieved was Barsisa al-Abid. Barsisa al-Abid. My brothers in Islam, who is Barsisa? Barsisa is someone who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was from among Bani Israel. He worshipped Allah for 70 years. 70 years. And he did not disobey Allah even a blink of an eye. 70 years in worship. He made a house, a worship house for himself above the mountain. He isolated everyone. He believed that he can reach Allah alone. He went and he began to worship Allah by himself. 10 days fasting, he comes out for a break. 10 days he prays in his house, then he comes out, takes some fresh air and goes back in like this. For Iblis wanted to, then he wanted to deceive him. So Iblis didn't know how to deceive him. So he made a sitting, a gathering, a meeting with the shayateen, maradat al-shayateen, the most evil and wretched of shayateen. And he said to them, what do you say? How are we going to deceive this person? They said, al-shaytan, one of the shayateen, whose name was al-abyad, he said, leave him. I know how to deceive him. He said, how are you going? He said, leave, no, leave it upon me and I'll deceive him. I'll deal with him. So al-shaytan, al-abyad, he dressed as a worshipper and he went to Barsisa. And he constructed a worship house right next to Barsisa. And he began to worship. Shuf, shaytan. He did not construct a nightclub next to Barsisa. He did not construct a liquor store. A shaytan is going to come to you through your deen. A shaytan is waiting for you at the door of the masjid. You need to realize this. Watch what he did. So Barsisa would worship and he would come out. And every time he'd come out, he'd see a shaytan in sujood, crying, making dua. He's affected. Allahu Akbar. Who's this wali of awliya illah? Who's this friend of Allah that he's worshipping? Time over time, months after months went by. Eventually, shaytan came to Barsisa and he said to him, teach me from what Allah has taught you. For Barsisa said to him, Anta al-wali. You're the one that's supposed to teach me. Teach me what Allah has taught you. For he said to him, let me teach you something. And he taught him a word of lie. That if it was to be read on someone that is possessed, he'll be cured. He taught him a word of lie. Barsisa took this word, where shaytan went down to society, and he began to possess the people. Someone is, Allah send him to Sheikh Barsisa. He's got the name, he's got the cure, he's got the solution. They take him to Barsisa. Barsisa would read this word of lie, where shaytan would come out. One person after another, until shaytan realized that Barsisa is in his hand right now. So Shaytan went to Iblis and he said to him, قَدْ أَهْلَكْتُ الرَّجُلِ, I have destroyed this man. خلاص. Iblis said, how? But he's still praying. He's still fasting. He said to him, خلاص. Once he's on the slippery slide, that's it. The end of it is he's going just down to his death and destruction. Until the Shaytan, he went and he possessed the most beautiful woman in society. Well, where are we going to send this woman? خلاص. Take her to Sheikh Barsisa. He's got the word, he's got the solution. Al-Sheikh Barsisa came down. He read, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Al-Shaytan, he said to him, Ya Barsisa, this woman is very bad and she's corrupt and sinful. This name is not going to work on her. Take her to your palace. Let her see from you al-ibadah. Let her worship with you. And then eventually when she makes a tawbah, you read the name, he'll come out. La a'uzu billah. How can I do this? Ya Barsisa, anta walaw, Sheikh Barsisa. You don't fall in the fitna. Anyway, he agreed. Her parents agreed. They took her to his house and she remained there for a while. And from time to time, shaytan would possess her and he would bring her into these modes of fits in where she would uncover herself. Ubarsisa would see that until time after time he fell and he did and he committed a zina with her. For then a shaitan came and he said to him, Ya Barsisa, she's pregnant from a zina and the people are going to make a mockery and a shame out of you. And he said to him, go kill her. And then the people will say, Barsisa al-Abid, go back into your worship and in your prayer and in your fasting, oh, khalas, neglect everyone, don't worry about them. So he did that, he killed her and he buried her. But shaitan said to Barsisa that if her family comes, say to them that, you know, she was possessed with shaitan, took her, Allahu alam, where she went. As shaitan went to her family and he said to her family that Barsisa committed zina with her. He killed her and he buried her in such and such place. So they went and followed and they saw where she was. And they came down and they all wanted to kill Barsisa for what he did. So they grabbed him and they choked him and they took him to the king's palace. And the verdict was ruled down, handed down the death sentence on Barsisa. For now the entire village and community is around this man that worshipped Allah for 70 years. And they came and they wanted to kill him. Was shaitan appeased in the form of a man before Barsisa. And he said to him, Ya Barsisa, no one can save you from this except me. Listen to me. He says to him, what is it? Give me the solution. People are going to kill me. He said to him, Usjud li ya Barsisa. Make sujood for me. Make sujood for me. I'll save you from all of this. For he said to him, how? You told me zina and I committed zina. You told me to kill and I killed. Now make sujood for you. Usjud li ya Barsisa. Make sujood. I'll save you out of this. So Ash-Shaykh Barsisa fell into sajda for Iblis and the people killed him and he died upon shirk wa kufr wal-iyadhu billah. Wallah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, they mentioned in the Quran, فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Shaykh Barsisa, 70 years of worship. That's how his last day on earth was. That's how his last day on earth was. He died sajidly Iblis. He died upon kufr and shirk. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا, both of them, الشَّيْطَانُ بَرْصِيصَ, their punishment was, أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. What does it mean, my brothers? What does it mean that someone worships Allah for 70 years and he dies upon kufr? You know what destroyed Barsisa? Although the entire story was to tell you what destroyed him. You know what destroyed him? He thought he can reach Allah alone. He isolated himself from his community. This is what destroyed him. This is why he fell into what he fell. He believed, I don't know what he believed. He might have thought that the people are no good for him, that he worships better than the people. Like some people we have today. Yalla, everyone is a kafir. Everyone is misguided. Al-masajid, a'udhu billah. They're all innovators. Let me go worship Allah on my own. Let me go open my own masjid in the house. Eventually, that's the same person that will become like Barsisa if he's not careful. Beware, my brothers, that you're not another Barsisa that is living. Beware. Understand the importance of brotherhood and companionship. In Al-Fatiha, we read every day, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. We don't say, Ihdini, guide me. La, 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 you make dua for your brother. Ihdina, all of us. We only we make dua for each other. Allah Azza wa Jal, when he speaks about the believers entering the paradise, he says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. That the people of the paradise, they enter the paradise in groups. Zumaran meaning in groups. Not furada, not alone. Why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, because they worshipped Allah in this life together. So they entered the paradise together. Don't ever think that you're not in need of righteous companionship. That remind each other of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That wake up each other for the night prayers. That sit together after Salat al-Fajr until sunrise. That encourage each other to seek knowledge. Go out together and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. That is the simple secret of Ibadur Rahman. That's how they succeeded. Allah, my brothers in Islam. Our righteous brotherhood doesn't only mean that you see yourself in the masjid and that's it. Look at Ashab al-Kahf. They lived in the same corrupt, filthy environment. There were no prophets, no messengers, no nothing of Islamic teachings at that time. But they went to prison together. They escaped together. They learned their deen together. They slept in a cave together. They ate together. And they died together. And this is what saved them. And this is why they became an example in the Quran for you and I to learn. this kind of brotherhood is very important, my brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, al-jama'atu rahmah, wal-furqatu adhab. Hadith sahih, that al-jama'ah is where the mercy is. And when you divide everyone alone by himself, this is where the adhab is. When you're about to fall in a sin, and you need a righteous brother to tell you, stop, haram, you don't find him. When you're about to die, and you want a righteous brother next to you to remind you about Allah, to remind you to say La ilaha illallah, and you don't find him, al-furqa adhab, you only bring punishment and destruction upon yourself. Wa ta'awanu ala al-birr, together collectively work upon righteousness and goodness. Surat al-asr wal-asr, inna al-insan, the human being is in loss. Illa al-lazina amanu, amanu, plural, all together they believed. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, together they did their righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they reminded each other upon the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they reminded each other upon patience. For my brothers in Islam, let's understand one final point I share with you. That before Al-Ba'tha, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen as a prophet, there were three people in Mecca that were upon At-Tawheed. Three people. Yani there were three potentials, one of them being a prophet. There was Waraqa ibn Nawfal, radiallahu anhu. There was Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, radiallahu anhu. And there was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chosen from among the other two? Waraqa ibn Nawfal, radiallahu anhu. They say, kana shakhsiyya in'izaliyya. His personality was isolated. His books by himself, his worship by himself, he didn't want to interact with anyone in community. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, يعني, he was a man, شخصية انصدامية, they say, that his personality was tough, rigid and strong. He'd go out to the people of Mecca, you know, he was a muwahid, so he used to see them and he said to them, لستم على ملة إبراهيم. He said to them, you people aren't on the way of Ibrahim. He used to go head to head with his people, يعني, to the point where they kicked him out of Mecca. And he died outside of Mecca, and he died before Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, يُبْعَثُ أُمَّةً وَحْدَهُ, he is resurrected as a nation by himself. But يعني, he was too strong. You couldn't make friends with him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ شَخْصِيَّةً إِسْتِعَابِيَّةً, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an accommodating personality. You can give and take with him. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a personality in where you can make friends with him. Before al-Islam, he signed up for Hilf al-Fudul, right? Hilf al-Fudul, meaning he signed a treaty in where he accepted to help the poor, the needy, the destitute, the one that is in distress, in calamity. Khadija radiallahu anha, she says about him, you know, وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الدَّهْرِ, that you help the poor, the destitute, the needy. That was his personality. Therefore, he qualified to be a messenger because he's a quality that people can attach to. People can make friends with him. Al-Islam began with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he himself is a symbol of companionship. Subhanallah, he himself was a symbol of companionship. For my brothers in Islam, let's understand that when we work together, when we understand the value of brotherhood, this is where our goodness will come out. My brothers in Islam, يعني, at least for yourself, make a commitment that you attend the masjid at least one salat a day. At least one salat a day. Al-Fajr, Maghrib, Al-Isha. Just make a commitment that you attend once a day. Then attend al-masjid for a lesson once per week, alongside with al-Jum'ah. Alongside with al-Jum'ah. Once a week. Could be anywhere, doesn't matter. And Facebook and all this stuff is good, but that's a secondary source of seeking knowledge and increasing your iman. Primary source of seeking knowledge and increasing your iman is here in al-masjid. This is why they were built. Fa'idhan, choose for yourself one salat a day in where you come and you pray with the believers. This will give you the importance and the value of righteousness and good, yani, companionship. Attend a lesson once a week. Also, when we finish, take each other's numbers. Exchange numbers. Get to know the one that's sitting on your left and the one that's sitting on your right. And wake up each other for Salat al-Fajr. Wake up each other for night prayers. Encourage each other to come and pray. Wallahi, if you don't do so, bit by bit, we're going to drown. If you believe everyone can make it to Allah alone, well, I don't need my brother. I don't need him. We're going to drown bit by bit. We're on the slippery slide. Understand the value of each other. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent for. Go to your local masjid. See what do they need. Put your hands in. Involve yourself. Help. Help the masjid that you live next to. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah, he used to delegate tasks to companions. He used to give him a task, and he give him a task, give him a task. And he took a task on his own, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you can't find someone that will befriend you, or you don't know someone, like, you go and befriend someone. You go to someone. Don't wait for someone to come to you. If I find this, my brothers in Islam, this is one of the biggest things that saved Ibadur Rahman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us benefit from that which you heard. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده الصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأزكى البشرية محمد بن عبد الله صاحب الحوض والشفاعة. فقد أمركم الله تعالى بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه وأيها بكم أيها المؤمنون. فقال عز من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.